Way back in Parshas Vayakel, when the quarantine was first starting to affect our shuls, I shared with you an idea of the Menachem Tzion, or Menachem Ben Tzion sects. Parshas Vayakel, Bnei Yisrael were given instructions to donate for the Mishkan, and the people donated really quickly, and very soon the quota was already met. And Moshe makes an announcement, everyone should stop donating to the Mishkan. Which seems odd. What's wrong with taking anything extra? It would show a great kavod for the Mikdash to have extra donations and reservation. And Menachem Tzion explained that since the Mishkan was carried on the backs of the Levim, it was carried through the desert, it wasn't right to take extra donations, extra materials that would ultimately burden the Levim. And the lesson was that as much as we're passionate about our shuls, we're passionate about Avodas Hashem, we have to always be careful to have a proper balance of, are we making sure other people are okay? Are we prioritizing the well-being of others? And now that Baruch Hashem, the situation with the coronavirus has improved and many shuls are starting to have the conversation and to reopen, it might be a good time to revisit this Dvar Torah. You know, right now we're itching, we're so excited for the opportunity to have Minyan again, to have Kaddish, Kedusha, and our leaders are showing great patience, they're showing great concern for Pikuach Nefesh still, to make sure to balance everything, and to make sure Avodas Hashem is not being compromised just for one or two mitzvahs. The Mesilas Yesharim devotes an entire chapter, Parachaf, to this topic, which he calls Mishkal HaChasidus, carefully balancing religious passion. He writes that sometimes in our excitement to do the right thing, we might be blinded to other factors, other consequences that may come about of our mitzvah. He has many, many examples, and one of them comes from this week's parsha. In Parshas Bamidbar, the Pesukim describe the obligations, the different responsibilities of Levim, who we mentioned carried the Mishkan throughout the desert. The family of Kohath was in charge of carrying all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, Menorah, Mizbeach, the Shulchan. And the Medrash Rabbah in Perek Hay on our parsha comments that at first it was a free-for-all. Anyone from Sheva Kohath could decide which of the Kelim he wanted to sign up for, which one he wanted to handle. And naturally, almost everybody from Kohath ran right to the Aron. The Aron houses the Luchos, that's the most important thing. Jumping right over the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbechos, all left behind. Against the fence, trying not to feel bad that they're picked last for kickball. That's what happened. And worse than that, the Levim started to fight. They all started to push and shove and would say, I'm going to carry the Aron. No, I'm going to carry the Aron. There came a tremendous fight, a physical fight, and people were getting hurt. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, we have to intervene. People obviously can't handle it themselves. They're so blinded. They're so passionate about the mitzvah, about the Aron, that they're neglecting the menorah. They're neglecting the shulchan. And they're neglecting each other. They're pushing and shoving. So at the end of the parsha, second to last pasuk says, B'samu osam ish ish alavodaso v'yel masa'o. We have to assign specific tasks for each person. They obviously can't handle it themselves. Seil Sasharim explains this is an example of the importance of Mishkal HaChasidus, to properly have perspective, to keep priorities in line, to make sure we're not getting blinded by one particular mitzvah and losing sight of the bigger picture, to trample on someone else's feet on the way to do a mitzvah. It reminds me of a story I once heard from Rabbi Arlovsky. He said that he was in the year of Avelis for his father. And one Motzei Shabbos, he approached the Amud, he was going to be the Chazan. And someone else in the shul ran forward and he says, no, I'm also a Chiyah for my father, and it's my turn to daven. And they started to argue back and forth. And as it went on, it started to become heated. Until someone else came over to intervene, and the person said, listen, guys, stop. Your fathers wouldn't want you to fight like this. And Rabbi Arlovsky said, hey, you didn't know my father. Sometimes people are just so focused on the mitzvah here in front of them, but they lose perspective that what's truly important, what really brings a zechus to a person's neshama. When do our mitzvahs really do more harm than good? I remember one time I was a guest in someone's house in Eretz Yisrael, and I brought along a candy platter as a show of a karas tov. And the woman of the house who took it from me, she said, I want to thank you very much for not bringing flowers. To be honest, I wasn't thinking about bringing flowers. But she said, thank you so much for not bringing flowers. You know, sometimes people come and they want to bring a gift. It's very nice. We appreciate their appreciation. But Erev Shabbos is a hard time to bring flowers. You know, I'm still working in the kitchen. I'm cleaning, I'm cooking, and we're giving baths to the kids. It's just not a good time to have to cut stems and look for a vase and fill it with water. And it's just not a good time. Now, I'm sure many other people do appreciate having fresh flowers for Shabbos. But just to take a step back and stop and think and ask the question of, is my mitzvah really a mitzvah? Am I really doing someone a favor? Is there anything else I'm overlooking? Is someone else being hurt by my mitzvah? No one spoke about this topic more than Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is known as the founder of the Mussar movement, and he used to say, a person can destroy the whole world on his way to do a mitzvah. He's so singularly focused, zeroed in on what he's doing, he can completely lose track, lose focus on everything else around him. Someone once came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and said, you know, I'm taking a job now as a chazan in a shul for Yamin Arayim. Tell me, what kavano should I have? What special thing should I have in mind during this awesome responsibility for these prayers, the entire kehila on my back? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter answered, have in mind to pick tunes that the tzibur knows and keep things moving so no one gets frustrated or bored in shul. Another time, a young bachar came to him and said, Rebbe, I'm getting married this week. I'm going to be putting on a talis for the first time. What kavano should I have when I'm wrapping myself in the talis? And he said, when wrapping yourself in the talis, have extra kavana not to smack the guy behind you in the face with the tzitzis. That was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He's a big fan of mitzvos, love Judaism. But he also worked very hard to make sure that everyone understand that a mitzvah was just one piece of Avodas Hashem. We have to take a step back and make sure that one chumrah doesn't lead to a kula in another area. In Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's time, in the 1800s in Europe, there was a man, a Talmud Chacham, who was known for his hospitality. He would have local aniyim, guests, family, friends, and his Shabbos meal was legendary. Hours and hours, about 5 hours on average. He had a local chef that would come and cook every seven-course meal. They would have Divrei Torah, they would have Zmiros, productive conversation, interesting conversation, Gedolim stories, no Lashon Hara. It was just hours and hours of pure Ruchnius and Gashmius. So when this man heard that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was coming to his town, he was super excited to be able to invite him over. So he forwarded a message to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and said, when you come to our town, I'd like if you can stay by me and eat by me Friday night. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter responded and he said, yes, thank you for the invite. Obviously he had heard about this man before. And he said, I'm only going to come on one condition. And that condition is, we have to have a short meal. I don't want any Divrei Torah. I don't want any Zmiros. When the message came back to the host, he was taken aback. The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a gadol, would not want to meet with Divrei Torah or Zmiros, and he was coming in on Wednesday. It wasn't like he'd be tired Friday morning. Okay, but that's what the gadol wants. That's what it takes to get him to come to my house for a meal. So be it. So Friday night comes, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walks in, and the host, the Talmud Chacham, pulls aside Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he says, you know, I want to make sure I understood the message correctly. And he said, you did. I'm happy to be here, but I would like it if we had no Divrei Torah and no Zmiros during the meal. Okay, the host is still completely shocked, but that's what the gadol wants. That's what we're going to have. So they sit down, and every so often, the host tries to make a comment to ask an open-ended question for discussion, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter chimes in, and he says, interesting, yeah, interesting. I got to think about that one. I'll get back to you. Every conversation was kept short, polite, but short. And at the end of each course, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself started gathering the plates and to keep the meal going. The meal, which usually went on for 5-6 hours on average, was done in 45 minutes. Perfectly pleasant, but very, very quick. After benching, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gets up and he says to the host, okay, I'd like if we can go to the kitchen so I can thank the chef. So he takes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to the kitchen, they walk in, and Rabbi Yisrael says to the chef, everything was delicious, really, really enjoyed, thank you very much. And she looks at the host, and the host nods and says, yeah, we finished a little early tonight, I guess you can go home, good Shabbos. And the cook, she walks to the door, and as she gets to the door, she turns back with tears in her eyes. She turns to Rabbi Yisrael and she says, I have to thank you. You know, I love this job and I need this job. But you know, by the time I come home Friday night after the long meal, my kids are already sleeping. This will be the first time that I spend Friday night with my family in about 5 years. And she left. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter turns to the host and he says, okay, now we can sing. Now I want to hear your Divrei Torah. So important to make sure that we don't lose sight that our Avodas Hashem, our Zmiros, our Divrei Torah, don't smack someone else in the face. To make sure that we don't jump over the menorah and the mizbeach and leave them behind on our way to run to the Aron. We don't fist fight as a way of figuring out who gets the kavod of carrying the Torah, who gets the daven for the Amud. At this time, we have to show tremendous respect for our Rabbanim, our leadership, that has continued to prioritize human life over any other value, to continue, despite the governor's announcement, despite the excitement around the opportunity for Kaddish and Kedusha again, to take a step back, to have Mishkal HaChassidus, to have this balance, this proper priorities to say, we're not going to do it too fast. We're going to make sure we're taking everything into account. Hashem should help us through this difficult time, and which is hopefully on its way up, hopefully toward the better. And in our own personal lives, Hashem should help us take a step back to make sure that our mitzvos are truly avodas Hashem in every single way.